right. Still smarting from the fact that my wife made an accurate prediction in the Houston versus Cleveland game over the weekend is a New York Times bestselling author, co-host of Fox and Friends, nationally syndicated radio talk show host, the host of One Nation with Brian Kilmeade on Saturday nights, the aforementioned Brian Kilmeade. Hey there, Brian.
What's going on, Frank?
Quite a bit. I'm afraid to ask, but because there's a lot of political stuff that I want to get your take on. But four interesting games this weekend. Who do you like in these games? Just so I know to bet the opposite.
You know what? If you're going to have that attitude, maybe I'll just call into another show. All right? Maybe. I mean, I think Tampa Bay's run is done, but the Philadelphia collapse is something epic. Statistically, it goes back to the 1986 Jets, but can you believe? You watch the Giants take them apart in the final week of the season. I thought, you know, what's going on? And they kind of quit after the first quarter. They really didn't need the game. But they tried to beat the Giants. They tried to get themselves on track, and the Giants just crushed them. And I thought, okay, they got a week to get it together. But now, I mean, they went from likely to win the Super Bowl to the best team in football at 10-1 to maybe they should fire their coach. I mean, I've never seen a collapse like this. Except for Dallas. Dallas, on the other hand, that was another thing. I mean, who predicted that
incredible
game?
Incredible. Absolutely incredible. It's what. Hey,
but the Packers, I think, stopped now, too. San Francisco's going to beat him.
Speaking of predictions, I mean, the polling in Iowa seemed to be pretty right on, showing Trump winning in a landslide. Nikki Haley, who you did a great interview with this week, which I want to ask you about, a lot of people are saying she's coming within striking distance of Trump. Maybe she could even pull out a win. If not a win, maybe she comes in a strong second. How do you see New Hampshire going, and what do you see that doing to the dynamics of the race?
You know, it's interesting. It looks like Ron DeSantis is moving most of his staff to South Carolina. And evidently, his super PAC is cutting back spending and letting some people go. He's going to be in single digits. But he says, after Nikki Haley gets crushed in New Hampshire, it'll be me and Trump. And then he wants that matchup. Okay. So for Nikki Haley, you saw that a couple of the American Research Group say that she was in a dead heat at 40-40. But the Suffolk poll, which had her within single digits, I think 6 or 7 points, now has a huge spread between them, I think about 17, 18. So Trump is going to look to lock it up. He's going back and forth between coming to New York City and went to New Hampshire. He's got a big event today. He's got one on Sunday. He's got a couple on Monday. And I'm not sure he might be pulling out on Tuesday. But it's very interesting. I don't think Nikki Haley loses anything with the controversial things she said about race and racism in New Hampshire. But the question is, does Trump stronger than anybody knows?
Right. Well, that is the big question. Hey, you mentioned that Nikki Haley comment. If people aren't familiar with that, she said this in a discussion with you talking about America's history. You asked, in words of substance, if the Republican Party was a racist party.
Just to frame it up correctly, yeah. I was coming off some idiotic statement that an MSNBC anchor said, Joy Reid. She said, well, you know, Donald Trump won, but keep in mind, Nikki Haley's a brown woman, so Republicans don't really like that, which is
understood.
The most asinine segment you could ever say.
Understood.
So I just said, I was hoping that, you know, she would want that question, but here's how she answered.
This is what Nikki Haley said.
No, we're not a racist country, Brian. We've never been a racist country.
Now, you know, this was a little bit of a weird response, especially given the guff that she got for not mentioning slavery during the Civil War. A lot of folks would say at the time that we had slavery or Jim Crow or a host of other issues where different races were treated differently, that we were a racist country. What did you make of her response there, Brian? Is this just a gaffe or what is this?
Well, I would say this. In the break, I always try to talk to people in the break. And so I talking to her. She just landed. And every time I asked her a question, she would ask me to repeat it. And she was having problems. And I'm not making excuses. I'm just giving. No one's even asked me this. So I'm just telling you. She was not hearing me. And then so we go to, they go, Brian, we'll shut it down. We've got to work on the audio. Next thing you know, I'm reading the introduction. They go, we got it. I go, great. Let's go. So I open up with Joy Reid. I know that would be good audio, and I open up and say, hey, how you doing? I know you're in New Hampshire, hour sleep, got it. I go, listen to this. And I just think that she was in almost a, okay, they're calling America racist, so let me push back on that. Instead of, well, they're saying I lost because I'm Indian.
Mm.
And she would have been the best answer ever. It's like, yeah, no, Donald Trump beat me in Iowa, but I'm going to change this race here in New Hampshire. But it had nothing to do with my gender and nothing to do with my heritage. Because, you know, if you read her book, you know that she did not have an easy time in South Carolina growing up. You know, kids can be cruel. But things have worked out for her, obviously. America has grown, especially in the South. But if you actually want to talk about a racist party, I mean, Democrats condemning Republicans, I have a real, you know, are really going on a blind spot in history.
You know, some people are criticizing, talking about the issue of race, Donald Trump for his recent Truth Social posts and elsewhere for using her actual first name rather than Nikki Haley, which is her middle name and the name that she's been using since she was a child. Her actual first name is Nimarata, which is how Trump has been referring to her. A lot of people are saying this is sort of his way of trying to stoke racial tension. What do you make of that?
Well, I just know that the only other person to say that was Vivek Ramaswamy, and they hooked up yesterday for the first time, and that Nimrata was used for the first time on Truth Social. I don't know if he was behind that, but I think it's totally unnecessary. If like Bobby Jindal, that's not his birth name. He was named after his parents looked up, and they loved the Brady Bunch, and they literally named him after Bobby Brady. So are you going to go? I don't know what his normal his birth name is. He was the former governor of Louisiana. I don't know why it's important. And she says, I'm Nikki Haley. The View tried to take her on a year ago and said, why don't you use your real name? She goes, that is my real name. So now she's got to go back and correct the record. I would hope that no one says, wait a second, her name's not Nikki. I'm not going to vote for her. I just think it's unnecessary.
Yeah, I mean, I know Ted Cruz's real name is Rafael, or his real first name is Rafael Edward Cruz.
Is that true?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Oh, no. But you didn't hear a lot of folks, you know, Trump or others during the campaign calling him Rafael. And I just wonder, you know, where, you know. So it sounds like you think maybe there is something to that, not necessarily the racial component, but not a big need to do that.
I don't think so. I mean, I'm not big into bird brain. I'm not big into the sanctimonious. I don't need it. I don't, you know, it's not wrestling. But that's what Trump does. I don't think we should be surprised. I'm not mad. I don't think it changes the face of America. But I don't think it'll change one vote. And I think you should give people of New Hampshire credit, more credit than that, to think, wait a second. Honey, if she's Indian, why would I go to the polls? I mean, really? I mean, I think that's pretty much settled law.
You had another great interview with Joe Manchin. A lot of people are talking about Joe Manchin as being the No Labels Party candidate for president. No Labels said they're going to make a big announcement today about what they're doing. They didn't say necessarily they're going to name a candidate or what the story was. They just said they're making a big announcement. Here's a little bit of your trying to get an answer from Joe Manchin about whether he's going to run and if he's going to be a spoiler.
Here's the thing, you know, the base of the party has taken the extremes clear to the extremes. And you have people on both sides. On our Republican side, you know, you have some really center right good people who I work with every day and center left people that we work with every day trying to make basically good decisions for our country that are going to be great for our families
right. And
secure us. The bottom line, they're afraid to jump out there and do this or that. There's no base, and they're going to get beat up or they get primaried and this and that. I'm not running again because you cannot fix Washington inside of Washington. The business model, the Democrat and Republican Party is doing just well, Brian. They're doing extremely well financially. And you're not going to change that business model. So we need to go out, and we're talking to people. My daughter Heather and I are working together. She has a new 501c4, Americans Together, which is explaining to people how they can be more involved, have primaries or more opened up on majority votes, trying to change the gerrymandering, the way it's done, and all these districts are already cooked before you even run.
You tried to ask him two more times after that if he was going to run. I still don't know what his answer is. What did you come away with thinking?
I think he's running. And, you know, I don't know the infrastructure of No Labels, but they're already on 14 ballots. And it's not going to be that hard to get to what he needs is 34. And he really, I mean, he's 74, but he looks maybe 62, maybe. Just over 60. I mean, this guy is, I just met him in person. Obviously, I was at a Jaguars game, and that's when I ran into him. We talked for about an hour. My gut feeling, then I ran into Michael Waltz, and to be able to sit there, the three of us, and listen to, number one, how they're coming up with legislation to not shut down the government, and they're trying to come up with something on the border. And just I just sat back and listened to them going back and forth. But my sense is, just as me, he's in.
Hmm.
And he wants Mitt. He wants Mitt Romney to run with him. And Mitt goes, no, I'm not popular. You don't want me. He's like, no, we have to do this. We have to run. I don't think he's thrilled running with Huntsman. I don't know about Hogan. I don't think they really know each other. So I'm curious to see who he's going to run with. And if he could get up enough votes, I don't know if you're too young. I think, Frank, I remember Ross Perot being on stage and changing the total dynamic between Clinton and Bush. So I was doing sports at the time, but I was still entranced by the whole race. Imagine Manchin on the stage between Trump and Biden. I mean, it would change the whole dynamic.
It would be fascinating. And especially Kennedy is polling at 15%, and he's able to get in those debates as well.
Right, but this guy's still struggling. Kennedy's only got on one ballot.
Right.
Utah.
Hey, the few but the proud in Utah. Brian, it is always a treat to talk with you, or should I call you by your real first name, Sebastian?
I would say that is not true. That is fake news. This is my real name. I'm half Irish, half Italian, and I'm going to run on both those heritages.
There you go.
When I'm in Little Italy, I'll be all Italian, and that'll be it. And by the way, special thanks to all our listeners. Booker T. Washington was on the bestseller list up until Christmas, dropped, and over the last 2 weeks just blitzed back on the bestseller list.
Well, that's
so
terrific.
People want to hear that story, Teddy and Booker T.
If people want to check out the book, then go to briankilmeade.com, Teddy and Booker T, How Two American Icons Blazed a Path for Racial Equality. It's a wonderful, wonderful book, and believe it or not, there's actually an enormous amount of parallels to what we're going through now as a country. Thank you, Brian.
Yeah. All right, go get him, Frank.